The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. It's a big day and night here in the Valley. It really is. You know, tonight, it's Arizona State and Arizona in Tempe. I think it's a bigger game for the Sun Devils than it is for the Wildcats. Just my own view, my own opinion. It's Arizona State at home. U of A, they struggled on the road over in the LA schools last week. No secret. ASU lost a heartbreaker against USC. Can they put that bad taste behind them? U of A has had some injuries. Desperate times for both teams within conference play. The game is tonight. Game is also on ESPN2. Bill Walton is doing the color. I'm going to talk a little bit about Bill. I have a backstory with Bill. It's a very good backstory with Bill that I haven't shared in quite some time on how far back we go. And I was actually Bill Walton's first play-by-play guy. I'll explain that many, 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 many moons ago. Today is also the first day of Arizona State football. Believe it or not, it's the end of January, and spring football starts today with their media day. We're going to head down there in a minute to catch up with Jordan Hamm, and I think Danny Gonzalez, the defensive coordinator, is going to be with us. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. Guys, you've got to do that through life insurance, don't you? Well, yeah, you do. Yesterday, I was sitting with someone at Sagicor. I am a licensed agent now. I believe so strongly when they first came to me here at Sports 360 that I wanted to learn more about them. And so I went and I got my license. So I am helping people make decisions, protecting what matters most. I sat with someone yesterday morning. We just did a fact find. How many kids do you have? How many people do you want to take care of? If you're not here, where's it all going? Do you have it in the right places? If you just want to retire, this person was in a place of retirement, you want to start turning things on now, turn your Social Security on now, and so on and so forth. If you guys drill down on that stuff, it's pretty simple to do. It sounds complicated. The people at Sagicor make it simple for you. Log on, get your free quote, do so right now at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Big story today, it's the start of football camp. Yeah, I said that right. End of January, and Arizona State is opening camp today with their media day. Jordan is down at the stadium at ASU, Skyping on in. Jordan Hamm for a couple of minutes. Okay, so why are we getting started with the 2019 season at the end of January? How is this possible? How did this come to be? Do you know?
You know, I'm glad that you didn't use the term spring ball, because even walking in, Mark Brand made a clear distinction. He goes, I think it's more winter ball that they're playing right now.
Yeah.
I think that I haven't heard a reason. That's what one of the questions that I'm going to be asking these assistant coaches. We're going to get Danny Gonzalez and Rob Likens here in a little bit, as well as quite a few players, along with Sean Aguano. But I think the thought process, at least before hearing it from the coaches, is kind of what Jordan Simone said on Brad Sessmatt's Football AZ. They just want to keep that momentum kind of going from their bowl game. They had an earlier bowl game, so they have a young team. You try to get that momentum going, reinstill some of the things they taught in the year so they can kind of reabsorb them and get them going for this 2019 season.
All right. Well, in terms of the quarterback, so they're not going to make the quarterbacks available one-on-one, but you are going to be able to talk to all four of these dudes today, right?
That's correct, yes.
And which one is most interesting to you with the story? Because I could make a compelling case. It's Dylan Sterling Cole, because he's sat through everything, and now he's hearing about all these guys. I can make a compelling case. It's Jaden Daniels. I can make a case, Joey, all of them I can make a compelling case for, but what's your view on it?
You know, I think the thing that is most interesting to me is there is the Dylan Sterling Cole factor, where he has waited. He has, you know, bided his time. You think about the quarterback room that was there when he came in. That included names like the Manny Wilkins, like the Bryce Perkins, Brady White. It was a very full quarterback room. So he's kind of back in that when he started his college career. But it's also the, I think, just the difference between the three new quarterbacks, because it sounds like these are three guys from very different backgrounds, very different parts of the country, very different personalities, yet they feel good. The coaching staff feels comfortable putting them potentially in the offense in their hands as true freshmen. So seeing how these styles kind of fit to Rob Lycan's offense, that's really the interesting thing for me, is that they are such different pieces, and it's kind of like, you know, pick your poison or pick your own adventure of like, what do you want the offense to be? Do you want it to be more dual threat? Okay, you probably go Jaden Daniels. Do you want it to be more pro style? You probably go Joey Yellen. You want something kind of in between that. Ethan Long can kind of, you know, do a little bit of both. So I'm intrigued to see how these differences kind of fit into the offense.
All right. And we have a lot of time to dissect all of this stuff. I'll let you get back inside. Thanks for jumping on board for a couple of minutes.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Danny Gonzalez, defensive coordinator for the Sun Devils, is going to be joining us here momentarily. We'll talk further about Merlin Robertson, some of the defensive side battles. Is anybody's job safe? I hear they're going to have a rugby coach help them on form tackling. How much pad work are they going to have in spring football on the defensive side? Really want to drill down with Danny Gonzalez and on that front. So he'll be calling in any point in time. Let's go into some other things. And when he does call in, we'll just shift gears. That's what we're all about here. We'll have Goody at the Movies today, by the way. And Bill is going to be doing his big Super Bowl review of what we can look forward to in terms of commercials, food, all the things around Goody's world, things that Bill sees a little bit different, a little bit off to the side. And those of you that have heard Bill Goody come through the years, you know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. So I am going to go to the game. I don't feel like there's the buzz around ASU, U of A, unless you're somebody who's on the payroll at ASU or U of A, and you'll say, of course, this is the biggest thing ever. And it's like, well, no, it's really not this year, at least in this game. I'm not one to sit here and sugarcoat it. I don't need to be a hype machine. I'm not Dick Vitale. I'm not going to stand from the highest mountain. There's many years where U of A comes to ASU, and there's NBA players all over the place. Last year it was DeAndre Ayton. We all know that. Years previous, they would have their one-and-done guys would come rolling through. Arizona State last season, I felt like the game in Tucson that we went to put up a great fight. It's always fun to see the two teams go back and forth. But this time around, anybody is going to make this out to be two dynamic teams, at least here in late January. Understand what I'm saying. Okay, here in late January, this is really a feeling out game for these two teams. I mean, if you're U of A and you lose this game, you've suddenly got three in a row away from home. You're rudderless. You're heading nowhere fast at the turn. At least that's what fans would probably think and say, and they're already saying that. There is not the number one draft pick on this year's team that Sean Miller has to roll out on the court. I actually think Sean's done a pretty darn good job this year, trying to piece things together after all the turmoil off the court. It's not even been a year since all that went down. Book Richardson and all that. It's not even been a year. So he's able to put a team out there that's trying to get through it. Their big man Chase Jeter has been hurt. Their guard play, I think, has been solid at times. Other times it's been erratic. They've had players leave. And so here they are coming into Tempe tonight. I don't believe this will be a solid U of A showing. I've been at those games. Some of you have been at those games where it's primarily blue and red and U of A chants throughout Tempe. We've been there. Now it's different with Bobby Hurley. The Bobby Hurley detractors are starting to come out a little bit stronger because of what happened at the end of the USC game. When I say the end, I don't mean 0.06 seconds, you know, 0.6 of a second. I don't mean that. Understand what I mean. When you get a rebound and you cross half court and you have two timeouts and you don't take it and you put up a shot, that's what I was saying. Don't try to make your own narrative out of it. So the way that it works for ASU, are they going to have solid point guard play tonight? Against UCLA, Remy Martin was very good, had a double-double. They ran away, they hid. When they're out on the floor in space and they're free-flowing, it's a pretty darn good offense to watch out on the court. Will they have that same sort of energy and enthusiasm tonight? I don't know if Cherry's going to play or not. I don't know that. Sitting here at 10 o'clock in the morning, we do the show live. It's a big difference maker for them. I think he's gotten better and better. whenever you have that first game against your arch rival, even if you're Zylan Cheatham tonight, you're probably going to be a little bit amped up more than you should be initially. This is one of those games, and Arizona State has struggled to get off to good starts. They just have. There's not been that 20-4 on a 16-5 get off the gates first media timeout type of run out of this team so far. It just hasn't. So I'm looking at both sides of this tonight. I think it's a bigger game for Arizona State because it's here. You could say it's a bigger game for U of A because they don't want to drop three in a row. I think for both teams, there's a little bit of desperation going on tonight, but I'm not going to paint this out to be the end-all of end-alls at the end of January. You still have the whole month of February ahead of you. You have the Pac-12 tournament ahead of you. But this is about the time of year where if teams are going to figure it out, this is when they're going to start to figure it out. They're going to start to put some pieces together and start to put together solid showings. I thought Arizona State did that against UCLA. They laid an egg against USC. I didn't think either one of U of A's games were very good at all when I watched them against USC and UCLA last week. And maybe it is the Bruins and Trojans are trying to figure it out and are going to get it figured out. I don't know. But I do know both teams are 5-3 coming into tonight, and I will be there. We'll take a break here, and on the other side, I believe we'll catch up with Danny Gonzalez. We also have Commissioner Goodell on the state of the NFL yesterday. I thought he stepped all over it. U of A gets a big-time pickup at quarterback and much, much more. And the Diamondbacks get, a pretty solid person to add in the back of their bullpen. And Bryce Harper is meeting with a team in the NL West, and it's not the Dodgers. We'll talk about all of that straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat. Joined now by Arizona State defensive coordinator Danny Gonzalez as they get spring ball. Maybe I should call it winter ball, Danny, getting it started.
Exactly. I guess it depends on where you're at. If we're up in the Midwest, there's no chance we're doing it next week, but it's supposed to be 70 degrees and sunny, so it's great.
It's a good day to send a recruiting video out, right? Come here.
No doubt. No doubt. That's exactly right. Especially for all those schools in the Midwest, those guys who are recruiting. Hey, we ain't dealing with that 30 below zero stuff, so.
Right. Arizona State defensive coordinator Danny Gonzalez with us. All right, what did you learn last season in your first year in terms of Pac-12 football versus over at San Diego State through your coaching career? Was it any different going into the conference?
The big difference was who you're preparing for week to week. I've been very fortunate in my time at San Diego State. We were the best team in that league. During that time, and so every week you're preparing for good competition, but you become the hunted, and so you get everybody's best shot. Here last year, the gauntlet of teams when it started, we started with Michigan State at week two, and then from there, when you're getting ready for the following week, you have SC or you have Oregon State, UCLA. There's never a drop off in the talent that you're going against. Now you'll run into some teams that are hotter than others, but just the ability that those teams have week to week that you have to prepare for was the significant difference. And then the other thing I learned, I've known this in 20 years of coaching, you can't rely on true freshmen to play and be sustainable. And we played. Our true freshmen played over 3,500 snaps of football last year, which is unheard of. And you can see as we go through our cell scout the last 4 weeks of the season, them guys wore down. And when they wear down, you don't compete at the same high level. And so part of the reason that we're starting spring ball early this year, starting next Tuesday and being done by February 28th, is we'll get 2 8-week blocks in the weight room that are uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. And that is more important to the development of our program right now than anything else.
Mental errors probably are what you're talking about, the MEs, right, late in the season from freshmen just because of the grind week in, day out, right? Is that what you're speaking about, Danny?
Some of them was the mental assignments that the mental errors that we made, but more so it was just physically those were outmatched at that point in the season. Most of those guys were a year ago. They're playing high school games. And in a high school game, you play roughly 55 to 60 snaps. And some guys go both ways, some guys don't. So the games are shorter, don't play as many plays. Even if you're fortunate and you play on a team that goes 15 games and plays in your state championship, you're maxing out at about 700 plays. Well, last year, those guys, they played 967 plays. and a couple of them played 900 themselves. There wasn't a lot of substitution at a couple of those spots once those guys developed themselves. So the big thing that you see at the end of the season is physically those guys who are in bodies of 17 and 18-year-olds are going against 22 and 23-year-olds that have been in weight programs at the Division I level for 3 and 4 years. So those guys are so tired of getting beat up by those guys right. that they start jumping around blocks. They start jumping around guys on the line of scrimmage. So the run fits aren't the same. The holes aren't as big or they're bigger than they used to be on the season. So the guys that are trying to fill those spots in the secondary and at linebacker, those holes are huge that they're trying to make tackles in. So all of a sudden they're starting to miss tackles because the thing's not bouncing sideways like we would like it to. So that's where they got worn out the most, was they just got beat up towards the end of the season.
That makes a lot of sense. Talking with Danny Gonzalez, defensive coordinator at Arizona State, spring ball getting underway next week. When I say Merlin Robertson, what do you want to see out of him in spring ball?
You know, high expectations from that young man, and a lot of times, you know, they have the success that they had as a true freshman. They go into what those people experience as a sophomore slump. They're not. The expectations are set so high, and they had so much productivity that sometimes they don't respond well. And I don't see Merlin being that type of personality. I mean, he's been just smart in the weight room and affording him the opportunity to be a leader. I mean, we turned to him and Darian and Ashari and told those guys, hey, this is your team now. This is your defense. So lead. And if you lead the right way, we'll be successful. And if you don't, then the whole team's going to suffer. And so far, Merlin has responded to those. Now, spring ball starting on Tuesday, this is Christmas for me. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what they're about to get into to continue to set the expectation for how hard they're going to play and the culture and the physical style that we're going to play with. So we're going to beat them up pretty good over the next 4 weeks. And after they come out of that, we'll have a better idea of where they really are.
What do you want to see out of Chase Lucas, Danny?
Chase Lucas. I want to see him compete. Okay, he had a lot of, and this is a perfect example of what you said about Merlin Roberts. Chase was a second team All Pac-12 as a freshman. He was a freshman All American, and he struggled a little bit last year, which I think was very humbling for him. Which was good because I think early on in the season he had the bright eyes of, oh, this is going to be easy. I've arrived, and once he realized that people didn't care who he was and we were going to put him in position that he was expected to be one of our best players. And when you're expected to be one of the best players, you're going to be put on an island for the position he plays. And you got to play, make plays with nobody helping you. He had a tough day against Colorado, and I think it was very humbling for him. And I give Coach White a lot of credit because he was able to continue to make progress towards the end of the season. I thought Chase got better and better after that game. And so going into this season, he knows that if he wants to play at the potential and the ability that he believes he has and that we believe he has, there's no days off. And he's taken to that so far. He's got to become a better tackler than he was last year. I mean, I talk about it all the time. Guys that tackle with their backs are bad tacklers. And he had a little bit of problem with that early on. He tried to fix it towards the end of the season. And we're going to do a lot of that stuff in spring ball. But Chase Lucas has all the ability in the world. I think what happened last through, I think, a good thing for him. I see great things coming for him this fall.
Who's a player you look at and you don't know because you haven't been able to work with them, but you were really excited? Give me a guy that you think, this guy was on the come last year, or he just came into the program. And you could probably say 10 guys, but there's one off the board that you're like, watch this kid, and that's the guy I really want to see.
You know, I think I can give you two names, especially in the second. Rashard Croswell was a developing superstar through the season last year. I mean, early on in the year, he took a lot of lumps. People in the media were pretty rough on him. I mean, he had a few pass interference calls early on in the season that were pretty crucial at times. And to his credit, the young man just kept grinding and working and trying to get better week to week. Shoot, by the end of the season, he ended up leading the time for the lead with interceptions, the nation interceptions for a freshman, with the four that he had. Now, he dropped four that were clear in his hand, that he would have been tied for the nation's lead. I thought the progress that he made from week two as from start to the end was huge, and he's going to be a guy that I see continuing to get better as a young man. Cam Phillips, the other safety, he came on. We were able, with that four-game rule, we were able to play him a little bit at the end, still maintain that red shirt. And if he puts on some weight, we get that's excited to see, because those can play to the competition level that those kind of played last year. It gives us an opportunity to have some success.
Before I get you out of here, I'm curious, Danny, I've heard you're going to have rugby as part of your training here in the next month. Tell me about that.
So the rugby style and tackling that we're going to implement this spring. Now, we did a lot of that stuff last year, but I think what they've done with that whole rugby is you teach kids how to tackle with their body after this, and you run to the football and get in position to wrap and roll and do all those things. And our rugby coach, who had one of the nation's best rugby programs, retired last year, and so now he's got nothing to do. And retired guys that are bored, they hang out a lot, and so I've been picking his brain. I've actually got to get some morning staff, so he can ideas that we're going to go back to the spring. It is, you don't have so many days to tackle pads. Well, with the rugby, you don't have to tackle pads. Obviously, rugby, they have pads on. So we'll be able to do a lot of tackling every day in just helmets all the way to the ground and teach those guys body position, how to get there. And then once we throw on the pads, it should be that much better.
Good stuff. I appreciate the time and the visit. Look forward to seeing you out at spring, Danny. Thanks.
Awesome. I look forward to seeing you here on Go Devils.
It's Danny Gonzalez there, the defensive coordinator over at Arizona State. So they're having their media day today. Eric and Jordan are both down there doing their thing. And we'll take a break here. On the other side, I want to get into this Bill Walton story. U of A lands a really good quarterback. And a little bit about Roger Goodell on the pro side, too. Goody at the movies and whatever else is on Bill's mind comes up in about 15 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So tonight, Bill Walton is doing the Arizona State-Arizona game. I like Bill. I know Bill personally. Bill and I did games together in San Diego many, 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 many moons ago. I covered Bill when he worked and played for the Clippers. Barely played because he had foot problems. I get a call one day, and I'm in my probably mid-20s, almost 25, 24, 25, thereabouts. I get a call from Hall of Fame broadcaster Charlie Jones. Charlie was silver Charlie, silver hair, great broadcaster, lived in La Jolla. Brad, I hear you're going to be working with Bill, or I hear you're doing the play-by-play for the University of San Diego basketball team, and you should have Bill Walton as your color analyst. And this is at a time where Bill was trying to work on his public speaking, just speaking. Bill had a speech impediment. And I said, Charlie, I don't think that Bill's ready to be on the air. He said, oh, no, no, I've been working with him. People have been working with him. He'd be great. Here's his number. So he gives me a number to Bill Walton. I call, get it arranged, go over to his house over by the zoo, park off Park Boulevard, and a nice area in San Diego. And they bring me in, and there's like this beam, big beam. And on the beam is Bill's, or the like the Yellow Pages phone book and the rotary dial phone. This is, mid-80s, late 87, 88, thereabouts. So, like, well, that's kind of random. So I go in the backyard, and there's the teepee, and there's Luke running around, and there's Bill over in the jacuzzi. And he says, hey, come on over. So I start to walk over. He stands up. He's butt naked. Come on over, sit down, hop in. Like, no, that's good. And he's scrubbing his foot with a pumice stone. Oh, these calluses from when I played. So we sat and we talked about the broadcast of the game. Next night, or 2 days later, University of San Diego plays Portland. Bill, it's 5:30. I tell Bill it's, 5:30, let's go. 5:30, no Bill. 6 o'clock, no Bill. About 6:30, there's a Bill. Bill walks in, we talk. get ready for the broadcast. He taps me on the shoulder. He says, is that Larry Steele, the coach of Portland? I said, yeah. He goes over, talks to Larry. They were part of the Portland Trailblazer championship team. If you're under 50, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Bill is there just having a great time with him. Game tips off. Portland beats up on San Diego. Bill is just crushing San Diego, as only Bill can do. Next day, the University of San Diego calls, we can't have Bill Walton do games ever again. And they didn't fire him. Brought him back for a few more, but there were some other players that came through. When I came here to Arizona, Bill and I stayed in touch. And when I moved over to television, I wanted to do a piece on Bill when Luke was at the U of A. And so we had Bill do that. And we went down to the piece. And ever since then, Bill has been part of the part of our world, part of my world in terms of, you know, stay in touch. How are things going? I talked to Bill before the Princeton game, and it was great to visit with him. And tonight he will be doing the Arizona State, Arizona game. Bill Walton works harder than most any person I know in the broadcast community. Whenever we go to the Pac-12 tournament, Bill is the last one to leave courtside the night before the first games because he's getting his notes. Yesterday, I get a call from some people at ASU about the game. And one person I'm talking to said, you know, Bill's just working hard. He's going to be on campus tomorrow. They're going to take him around. He's going to shoot some stuff for Walton's World and all that stuff. Guys, when you hear his shtick on the air, some of you don't like it. Some of you just want to hear about bounce pass to the right and bounce pass to the left and all that stuff. And that's not Bill Walton. I think what's great about him is he's very entertaining and brings a different way of the broadcast. So I'm looking forward to that tonight. Let's go back down to Media Day. Merlin Robertson is with us. He was just a flat stud last season on the football field. And I talked to Danny Gonzalez earlier about Merlin, and he said, I'm really looking forward to working with him and seeing him grow. And Merlin Robertson joins us via Skype down at ASU. How's Media Day going?
Hello.
How are you, Merlin?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How was Media Day going?
Oh, it's going good. I just got here. My first interview, so yeah, it's going pretty good so far.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
Where are you a better player today than when you first came to Arizona State? Where have you improved?
You said where I have improved?
Yeah. How are you a better player? Coming into this camp versus when you showed up at ASU less than a year ago, where are you better today?
Well, my weight-wise, you know, I feel physically strong. And my speed, too. I picked up my speed a little bit. So, you know, I feel way better with flexibility as well. And with opening my hips. And I think I improved, too, with my covering. So, my covering skills. So that's why I feel like I improved there.
Did you do everything you wanted to do in your freshman season on the field?
Most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did most of it, yeah. I wasn't really satisfied with what I've done, but I got this year to pick it up.
Give me an example. What would you like to have done better?
Just be more physical when coming to the line of scrimmage, when it comes to offensive linemen, you know, getting up blocks, you know, being more aggressive with my hands. You know, I needed to work on that a lot, so.
You were around the ball a lot last season. You made play after play. Where did that instinct come from to find the ball? Who instilled that in you? How did that come to be? Because you have an uncanny ability to always be around the ball.
You know, it comes from training. You know, the training I did when I was a kid to now, you know, I got a lot of help from Coach AP, Coach G, you know, getting my reads down. Basically, it was just my fundamentals and, you know, just reading the play, reading my assignments, and yeah, it helped me just get to being in the right spot at the right time.
You know what I mean by that. The ball seemed to find you.
Oh.
You know?
I'd be lucky. Yeah, I just know where to be at, you know, at the right time. I know my assignments, and yeah.
You went through the season, and you're a father, correct?
Yes, sir.
How has that been in balancing being a dad and being a football player? That's a big responsibility. Tell me about that.
Sometimes it gets hard, you know, because I do miss my kids. And, you know, I get a little homesick. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish they were out here with me, but You know, then again, I use them as my motivation to do what I do, you know, get up early and, you know, to just do this football stuff. You know, yeah, it's great, man. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to give me this opportunity, even though, you know, I'm a father as well, but, you know, it's a long process, so, yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's got to be good for you when you get off the practice field or get done with a game and when you are able to see someone else that is looking to you to provide, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great feeling, yeah. I love my kids, I love my son, you know, I can't fail him, so, yeah.
Going to be a football player, you think?
Huh?
Is he going to be a football player, do you think?
Man, my son's going to be whatever my son wants to be, you know. Yeah, I'm going to try and get him in football, you know, but, you know, I'm going to put him in all kinds of sports, you know. It's just, yeah, see whatever he loves, whatever he enjoys, you know. That's good.
Before I get you out of here, this spring ball, so Danny Gonzalez tells me that you guys are going to have the rugby coach working with you on tackling. Do you know about this and what does that entail? Rugby's not for the faint of heart, Merlin, just like football, but it sounds like you're going to be going through some different things.
Yeah, I met the coach, the rugby coach. He's pretty cool. He got a little accent on him, you know. He's a real rugby guy. Nah, he's cool though. Yeah, he's cool. The technique that he taught us this year, with the little time he got, you know, it helped us a lot. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that. Because, rugby is, you know how to tackle when you play rugby.
Yeah, yeah. Try water polo sometime. That's one that'll beat you up too.
Oh, yeah.
That's one that'll get after you.
Oh, yeah.
What, before I get you out of here, tell me about school and Arizona State outside of football and how that's been for you.
Man, school's been great. You know, they give us the help we need, you know, the tools we need. We got mentors, we got tutors there for us. Everything's just basically there for us to take advantage of. Academics, man, is great. I love all my classes. They got all the right classes they need to put us in. And, mm-hmm. You know, everything we need to, to get a degree. I'm majors in everything, so yeah.
What do you want to do when football is done for you? Are you majoring in your future now, or are you still trying to go through some of the general ed stuff and figure it out?
I'm taking on my general ed classes right now. I'm getting them out of the way, but I'm gonna major in communications.
Are you?
And good. Yeah, I want to major in communications and then get my real estate license and then get into real estate.
That's awesome.
And start selling houses.
Well, here's the thing. If you do the communications deal, you can do the show one time, all right? Come in here and just host. I'll walk out of the studio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, if you feel like you're at that point, you know, Jordan and Eric, mm-hmm. who are there with you, they can set you up. But you always have an open microphone here. How's that for an offer?
Oh, man. I appreciate it, man. Heck yeah.
All right. I'm serious about it. I don't throw around offers very... I don't throw around offers very often, but if you want to get after it, all right. Well, I'm serious. I'll follow up with you on it. All right.
Okay.
Enjoy your day. Thanks for coming on, Merlin.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. God bless.
You got it. There's Merlin Robertson there at ASU via Skype. That, my friends, is why I like the college experience. I am one of those. Many of you are like, oh God, here he goes again on student athletes. I get it. Most of the time when they say student athlete, it's not student athlete. In a lot of cases, I've seen it for 30 years. There's a guy who's just killed it on the football field. He's a dad. He's trying to figure it out and make it work as a dad. He's trying to get through college and get to the next level and then get his real estate license and do this. Why not give him a shot on the air? Why not? Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now it is time to talk, as always, with Goody at the Movies, Goody on things around the political scene, Goody on television, Goody on radio, Bill Goodykuntz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Bill Walton is in town doing the ASU U of A game tonight. I don't know if you and I have ever had a chance to talk about your view of Bill, so let's do that here. And then we'll get Super Bowl. Are you a Bill Walton guy?
I am.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah,
I think he's hilarious. I think he's smart. I think that the one thing that people have, you know, once people started sort of paying more attention to all the goofy things he says, I think that he does occasionally try to overdo it now. and that's too bad, but sort of understandable, I guess. But I think that he and, you know, I think he's, you don't always learn a lot about what's going on in the game.
No, that's true.
But you learn a lot about the world and what's going on, you know, in his mind, certainly.
I'm going to give you a story if you want. I mean, you can always shoot me down. So Bill today was being taken around campus by ASU, not athletics, because he's doing the game tonight. He's going to go to shoot around from what I was told, but I've also been told he's going to be bumping around ASU today, just leading the life of an ASU student or observing. So somewhere there's a 7 foot, 6'11", slightly graying former redhead just walking around on campus today. So might be in the astronomy room or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I like him. I think he and Patch are, Dave Patch are good. They're probably, I think Dave Patch is great. And I think that they're probably my second favorite college basketball group. My favorite is Sean McDonough and Jerry Billis. I really like them. But
some people don't like Billis because it's all about X's and O's and back screens and pick and rolls. And then there's Bill, who's all about, you know, clean energy and, you know, being at a Grateful Dead concert. And
I was watching the game, and somebody for Oregon was originally from like Egypt or somewhere.
Yeah,
his family was from Egypt, and he could not stop talking about the Nile River. It was just, but
I was sharing my Bill Walton story in the last segment, because Bill's first game he ever did was with me, University of San Diego, and to see see where he is now, and he had to overcome a speech impediment. Bill, is I'm sure you knew.
And yeah, he wouldn't. That's why he wouldn't talk to the media when he played.
He's a great, great person. I'm very, very proud of him. All right, Super Bowl. How do you handle Super Bowl consumption? Like, my family gathered around and watched that just obnoxious best Super Bowl commercials the other night. And I wanted to just like take the TV and throw it out of our house. Like, what are you guys doing? Are you into that whole space? How do you approach Super Bowl?
I, for a long time, I had to be, because I used to write about the commercials, you know, me and everybody else with a typewriter or a, you know, word processor back then or whatever you had. But now, I think and you talk about overdoing it. That's something that they've really ruined. I mean, they really started overdoing it. Some of the commercials are still great. Some of them aren't. I mean, that was always the case. But now they do this thing where they release them before and you can watch them online. And it's like, who cares? I've already seen it. I mean, it doesn't have any impact anymore.
Right.
I just think that's dumb. And I just like all that stuff, you know, as we've said before, the great Fred Allen line, imitation is the sincerest form of television. But I used to, when I was a kid, and even when I was a grown up, you know, and I was single, and I would, you know, it's kind of got like this 8-hour pregame show. I think I'll sit there and watch it. And you sit there and watch it for about 15 minutes. And it's like, I'll come back to it. I'll check back on it. And it's like, I'll probably watch Trump at 1:30. He actually agreed to be interviewed by the host of Face the Nation. He would not do the NBC. He wouldn't do the Meet the Press thing last year. Usually the president, I shouldn't say usually, but Obama and Bush would sit down for an interview because they know they've got a big captive audience there, and maybe they can reach some people that they don't always reach. And Trump wouldn't do it last year, but he's going to do it this year. So maybe I'll probably watch that. But I think it gets lost, and it has an effect on me of like, it's sort of like especially if it's something I have to write about. If I watch the Oscars or the Emmys or whatever, and they have all that red carpet stuff, and it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's like the pregame for the show. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, whoa, the show's starting. It's like, I wasn't ready. And that's sort of how, you know, the Super Bowl is. It's like, wow, man, they're about to kick off. I better start paying real attention now, you know. It's too much, but the whole thing is sort of, a monument to excess anyway. So.
Well, here's the thing on the commercials. Chimps and dogs. Chimps and dogs, right? That's one. Many years ago, I went to Disneyland on Super Bowl Sunday, and I recorded the game, because here I am, sports guy, right? But I'm trying to be dad, and I had some people growing up in Southern California that told me the best day to go to Disneyland is Super Bowl Sunday. And you know what? They were right. So you could just sit on the rides and do your thing. And I'm not giving away any state secret. This isn't front page breaking material, but it is kind of refreshing to go do something different in this day and age of DVR and then just watch the game. And so I'm able to talk about it on Monday. I don't care what Trump says at 1:30. I wouldn't care what president says at 1:30. It's 1:30 and it's 75 degrees in Arizona. It's minus 24 in Chicago. So I just don't care. I don't know. That's me.
No, I think you're right. I mean, like Harkins, for instance, is offering this deal where they're selling $5 movie tickets on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty smart, the program. But I can't take a live game and go back and watch it. I can't. I don't know why.
It changes your life, Bill.
No, I know. But I think the thing that already changed my life, and we talked about this before, the thing that changed my life and made me like breaking news and made me like sports and made me feel like I have to watch it in the moment was when Howard Cosell announced that John Lennon died.
Yeah, yeah.
Monday Night Football, and it's like I want to see that when it happens. I don't want to see it. You know, I don't want to come back and have to watch it 2 hours later. And I mean, of course, when I used to really write a whole lot about sports and stuff, I'd tape Suns games and all that on my VCR, and you know, that kind of thing. But I really like it live, and I'm, you know, I like big stuff, so I'll watch.
I know you are one of those big stuff guys. Will you sit on your couch with your laptop open and a notebook? Will you go to a party with a bunch of people and kind of sort of pay attention? How do you consume it, and do you have to write about it for Monday?
I'll be writing something about it, probably about the broadcast team on Monday, but I'll sit there or I'll watch it on my laptop or something, and have a second, you know, have an iPad to watch on or something. It just depends. I've not been to a Super Bowl. I almost always end up having to write something about it. So I haven't been to a Super Bowl party in a long time. But I remember once I've been to four or five Super Bowls, which to me was like, I couldn't believe it. It was like the greatest thing ever. I get to go to the Super Bowl, you know. And they sent me to Miami when Steve Young threw six touchdown passes because Phoenix had it the next year, right? And it was kind of a dry run. We wanted to see how we were going to handle stuff. And I remember I called my wife just to say, you know, here I'm, you know, how's everything going? Just making, I'm getting ready to really work here. I'm in the stadium, but I got to get going. And she was at a Super Bowl party. And I thought, oh man, that sounds really fun. That sounds like, you know, that sounds like you're really having a good time. And then I stopped and I thought, but wait a second. It's like, I'm at the thing they're watching.
Like, right.
So all in all, I'd rather be there.
No, I don't know if it's just age and doing this. I could care less about going to a Super Bowl in terms of working it. I've been there, done that. Your access isn't great. You're not going to uncover anything. It's going to be media interviewing media. You can work really – I shouldn't say you're not going to find something. You have to work extraordinarily hard, and I'm fine working extraordinarily hard. It's just the dearth of things that is there in the NFL makes sure that certain outlets know what the good stories are and other outlets get shut out. I don't like game playing. And so there's a lot of that with the NFL. It's just how they work.
They are very much about controlling the message.
Yeah.
And you look at the sideline reporters, you know, as we've talked about before, and Melissa Stark told me one time, she said, you know, you're standing there next to a guy with like, you know, an air cast on his leg. And they're telling you, like, you know, well, the official word is he may return. You know, no, he's got a broken leg. I don't think he's going to be retained.
Yeah. And if you don't say that, you're going to lose your job. So that's the way.
Oh, yeah. That's not one thing.
Oh, by the way, you know, yeah, he's being amputated. Nope, he's not. You're done. See, we'll get somebody who will go by our narrative. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Good talking to you. I'll talk to you soon. See ya.
All right.
It's good to eat the movies and other stuff. Devin Henry today, because Eric wanted to go to Media Day. Devin and I have navigated through this hour, and it's been fun. It's been a sprint. We like those types of shows. We're going to head from here, work on over on the website of things, and write some content up, put some video up. We'll be out at the Open today. Eric and Jordan are down at they're down at ASU today for the start of spring football workouts. I'll be at the ASU basketball game tonight. It's a busy day ahead. Thanks for being with us.